your Bibles, if you will, the book of Joshua tonight. I do know it's in the Old Testament, so maybe that'll help you out a little bit, if you will. The book of Joshua tonight, I'm going to try to preach to you about heritage, about something I found in God's Word that struck my heart as I read it. And in the more places we go to, we went to a camp meeting and had a wonderful time at the Grid Baptist camp meeting. It's the oldest Baptist camp meeting in existence. They've been in existence for 63 years. And it's an old-fashioned, Holy Ghost-filled camp meeting. We went out there and it had a sawdust floor. Boy, they had women just a-fanning. Even some of the older women, I don't know if they've done this on purpose, but they come to church wearing those honeybee hairdos, all pinned up with bobby pins, probably had 100 bobby pins in their hair, beautiful long dresses on, and they went out there and sat up under the tabernacle with those wood chips, the sawdust floor. People got up there and sung, and one man played that long stand-up guitar, I don't know what you call it, whatever you call it, he played that. They played the organ, they played the piano, and boy, they just sung and let it rip. It was a wonderful time for us. But as I was there, God was speaking to my heart about our heritage as Baptists. And my friend, we got a great heritage. We got something that we need to hold on to as Baptists, as independent Baptists. We got something we need to hold on to for eternity. So let's look here, if you would, Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4, we're going to read the first 10 verses together. And as I read them, you read along with me, then we'll pray and ask God to help us. Now, Joshua chapter 4. Let's look here in verse 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take ye 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe, a man. And command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom they had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribe of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What meaning mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan was cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan. And as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribe of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where their feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood. And they are there until this day. For the priest which bare the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished. The Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. And the people hastened and passed over." Let's pray together. Father, I pray you help our hearts tonight, God. Get us in tune with the Word of God and what these verses should mean to us, not only as Christians, but Baptists. Not only as Baptists, but independent Baptists. I'm glad tonight I'm an independent Baptist. I'm an independent Baptist by conviction. And thank you, God, for convicting my heart about being an independent Baptist. And Father, now we have a great heritage. We've got something that's worth holding on to tonight. And I pray, God, by this passage of Scripture, these verses tonight, God, would you illumine our hearts and mind? By the revelation of God, would you speak to our hearts and mind tonight? And, oh, God, speak to us about what we need to hear. And, oh, God, we thank you. We love you. Help me to preach. Help me to please you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. In order to get the full meaning of these few verses, these 10 verses I read to you, you've got to read the whole in chapter 3 and chapter 4 to understand exactly what's going on here. God's, my friend, gave them a great victory here. Joshua has stepped on the scene, and Joshua has moved into the position of authority, and God was about to magnify Joshua in the midst of the congregation of Israel. And here Joshua got a command from the Lord to pass over the Jordan River. And he said here when the priest taking the covenant, the ark, when they step into the Jordan River, the Jordan River will dry up and you'll go over on dry ground. I appreciate God preparing dry ground. It's not muggy ground. It's not muddy ground. It's not more ground, but it's dry ground. God can always prepare dry ground for His children to walk over. My friend, what does that mean to us tonight? If you ever stepped in mud this morning, I don't know who did it, it just come to my mind, and me and Brother Jim was out there talking for just a few seconds, and I noticed there's a track on the floor, a sand track, where somebody stepped in some sand and they come on the carpet and you can see every footprint they made. And I just happened to take my foot and just kick the dirt over so nobody else could see it. But if you ever walk through mud and walk on a dry place, you'll leave your footprints everywhere you go. My friend, when we got out of the world and we got in a Christian life and God saved us, He don't want us tracking the stuff from the old world into the new life we have. So He made dry ground for us to walk over on dry ground. And here God told Joshua, He said, hey, He said, when you get over there, when the priest steps in the water and the water will be divided, the ground will become dry, He said, I want you to choose one man out of every tribe. There's 12 tribes, so there's 12 men. He said, I want you to command each man to grab a stone. And I don't know about you, but my thinking, I don't believe a stone was a little rock like maybe we have out in the parking lot or a little rock you find out in the river. I believe these were great big old stones because they had to grab the stones and carry them on their shoulder. And as the men would grab the stones and the water was divided, they would go over the Jordan River and they made a great heap of stones. They made a great heap of 12 stones. On the other side of the Jordan River has a memorial about what God's done. And as they were doing that, Joshua was in the midst of Jordan River. He took 12 stones himself and placed them in the very middle of the River Jordan. And the Word of God said they're still there today. I wish I could see that. I wish I can go where there's 12 stones and know that each man from the 12 tribes has touched those stones and put those stones there. I wish I could find it in the Jordan River where Joshua placed those 12 stones and they still remain today. But I want you to notice this as it caught my attention in verse 6. Now these may be a sign among you that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Notice what it says here. What mean ye by these stones? Look at verse 21. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their father in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Boy, these stones was placed there for a reason. It just wasn't some crazy idea God had. I don't believe God has any crazy ideas. I believe everything God's plan for our lives is for a purpose. I believe every word God's penned in the Bible is for a reason. I believe every period, every question mark, every sentence, every verse, every chapter, all 1,189 chapters of God's Word is for me and you tonight because He's got something in there for us. All 66 books of God's Word is for us tonight. And here the Bible says when your children ask you what mean these stones, Lord willing, I'm going to preach, what does these stones mean? Boy, these stones meant something to them. Has each man from the 12 tribes picked up one stone and walked across the Jordan River on dry ground, they placed the stones, and another one will place a stone, another one will place a stone, another one will place a stone, place stones on that top stone, and stones on that stone, and it had a great heap of stones. And no doubt, my friend, the children will look one day, and they see the great heap of stones, and they say, Daddy, Granddaddy, Papa, what does those stones mean? Friend was able to sit down and tell them what those stones mean. He said, when your children ask them, what does these stones mean? You're able to sit down and tell them what these stones mean, my friend. Boy, these stones mean something to us tonight. These stones mean our heritage. These stones mean what God has done in the past. My friend, these stones remind us of who God is and what God can do and where God's brought us from. What is on the other side of Jordan, waiting to get to Canaan, waiting to get to the promised land, waiting, my friend, to have that milk and honey that flows forever. And my friend here, they crossed the Jordan River, and God said, hey, make you a memorial, make you a heap of stones, that when your children ask, you can sit down and rehearse in your children's ears what these stones mean. I wonder tonight, if I asked you, by a raise of hand, how many of us has ever been to a old-fashioned tent meeting? Raise your hand. A few of us. A few of us has. You know what? They don't have too many tent meetings no more. You know how our children knows about it? We've took them. You know the reason we've took them? Because another Christian's told us about how a great tent meeting used to be. Well, you sit out there in the nets, the flies all around your face. And boy, it's hot. And preachers are taking their jackets off, and women's just a fanning, and you see little ants and bugs climb all through the cedar chips, and it's scorching hot, and you're just waiting for a breeze to blow on you. But hey, the man of God gets up there and starts singing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, and another person gets up there and starts singing Victory in Jesus, and the man of God starts preaching, my friend, you start feeling another breeze from another world. Hey, my friend, what we have as the independent Baptist, the heritage we have, these stones that we have, I don't want to lose the meaning of them. I don't want to lose what they should mean to us. I don't want to lose the heritage we have as the independent Baptist church. God's brung us a long ways, and God, my friend, has took us through thick and thin, and He's brung us down some hard roads. But praise God, God's always been faithful. And when my children ask, Daddy, what was it like to be in a tent meeting? I can say, son, you know, because you've been there. I don't want my children to have to ask me, what is it to have a old-fashioned revival meeting? I don't want my children to have to ask me, what does it mean when God moves and God comes and God does a supernatural work in the church? I don't want them to have to ask me, Daddy, the people in Jordan used to shout and raise their hand and run in the aisle and worship God. I want them to experience it for themselves. I want them to see it for themselves. And as those children saw the stones, the father would sit down and tell them, hey, I want you to know what God's done for us, how God's delivered us, and what God is doing today. You know, I realize somebody's paid a great price for what we have here. Some of you men has bled in this church when you worked on it. Some of you men has cried many a tears. Some of you men has put more money in this church than anyone would ever imagine. Some women in this church worked and worked night after night and night after night to get things done, to have a beautiful place to come to. I'm looking at a church building that I had nothing to do with as far as erecting the walls and pouring the foundation and painting the borders. I had nothing to do with that. But I know what it means. I know what it means to have something that we should be proud of and hold on to. But we got a great heritage here. I thought about that camp meeting, 63 years. Are we going to have anything from out of this church that's going to last for 63 years? Is this church going to last 63 years? We've already been lasting for 20 years. Are we going to last for another 43 years? It's not going to be up to me. It's not going to be up to you. It's going to be up to these children that we have in this church. Not meaning any harm by it, but 43 years from now, half of y'all will be in the grave. 43 years from now, half of us will be gone somewhere else. So if this church is going to last, it's going to take these children. And I want these children to grow up and to know what it means to serve Jesus. I want our children to grow up, not just my four, but all the children we have in the church. I want them to grow up knowing what an old-fashioned tent meeting is. It shouldn't be old-fashioned. It just should be a tent meeting. Hey, our church is going to have a tent meeting. Our church is going to have a revival meeting. Our church is going to have a mission conference. Our church is going to have an evangelist to come in and preach. Our church is going to have an old-fashioned Sunday where we come and worship God. Hey, somebody call me and say, hey, where's your old-fashioned services? As far as I know, we have an old-fashioned service on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. I don't believe we're old-fashioned. I believe we're just in old paths. My friend, these 12 stones meant something. I want to show you the meaning of these 12 stones. And I hope you understand where I'm trying to go tonight. Look here, if you would. In verse 6, the Bible says, "And that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever." What does these stones mean tonight? These stones, my friend, it speaks about the message of God. What is the message of God that we have tonight? Look here, if you would, in Joshua chapter 3. In Joshua chapter 3, let's look together, if you would, in verse 8. Let's notice tonight the message of God. Well, these 12 stones was heaped together. And the children would come along and say, "Papa, what does these 12 stones mean?" Oh, he'll put them on his knee and sit down. "Hey, I want to tell you the message of God and what God's done for us." Here in verse 8 of Joshua chapter 3. "And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye have come to the brink of the waters of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you." What does these 12 stones mean? It means, hey, God was among us at one time. Here Joshua said, hey, when you see these 12 stones, it means the living God was among us. Boy, it's good to have the living God, ain't it? I don't want to serve a dead God. I don't want to be a part of a dead church. I don't want to have a dead religion. I don't want to have something cold and dead and that won't spark or won't catch a fire. I want to serve the living God. I want to serve the living God that can answer my prayers and hear my prayers and answer my prayers and do what needs to be done. Look here what Joshua said about the living God. The Bible says here in verse 10, "And that he will without fail drive out before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Gergesites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you into Jordan." Here, what does these 12 stones mean, my friend? Hey, what does the Christian heritage that we have? These 12 stones tonight represents all that God's given us. He's given us a beautiful church. He's given us 6 acres of land. He's given us some great people. He's given us some men of God to stand behind his pulpit and preach God's word. These 12 stones tonight represents all that God's given us. So what do we say about the 12 stones? We say it's the message from God about what God can do for God's people. You realize it's not me. It's not you. It's not even us. I'm going to tell you the truth in that church. God can get his work done without me. God can get his work done without you. God doesn't need you and God doesn't need me. But thank God we can be part of what God's doing. Joshua said, when you look at these 12 stones, I want you to remember the message of God, how God was faithful. How we served a living and righteous God, and the living God was dwelling among us. And God, he never failed to drive out our enemies. He's never failed to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. God has never failed us. And God has never left us alone. And God has never orphaned us. And God has never forsaken us. God has always been right and just and on time. And God has always been a faithful and righteous and true God. When I look here, I look at the church out here, Open Door Independent Baptist Church on Sand Hill Road. What does it tell me? It tells me the message of God is that God will not forsake his children. For God can do anything, anywhere, anytime, anyhow he wants to do it. But he allows us to be part of it. These 12 stones represents the message of God. You look at somebody that got saved because of a bus route. You looking at somebody that heard the gospel, a clear presentation of the gospel, brother, for the first time during a vacation Bible school meeting. And I was 22 years old. I look around. I think about these 12 stones. This church, how it started off in a little room. And it got bigger and got bigger. And now we're here. How one man had a call from God to come to Marion, South Carolina to start a church for God's glory. What does this mean? It means God's faithful. I mean, God can do anything He wants to. He allows you and allows me to be part of it. When your children ask, 43 years from now, will my grandchildren come up to me and say, Papa, what does Open Door Independent Baptist Church mean to you? I can look at them and say, God was faithful. And God never let us down. And God met every need that we had. And God gave us some good services. And boy, God gave us some good revival meetings. And God brought in some good singers and some good preachers. And I've seen God move in a mighty way. And I've seen people get on fire for God. I said, Open Door and Baptist Church, it means it's the place I got saved. It's the place I answered the call to preach. It's the place me and my wife got married. Some of you might not know that. We got saved. 2 weeks later, we come here, right in front of this pulpit, with my wife's grandmother and granddaddy and our children. And I looked at my wife in the eyes and said, I do. And she looked at me and said, I do. We placed the rings on each other's fingers. This church means a whole lot more to me than just a church. It's the place God's been faithful to me and my wife's life. Many times we've been living from God's hand to our mouths, but God has never let us down. What do these 12 stones mean to you? It means to me the message of God that God's always faithful. Not only that, but it means the measure of faith. Look here, if you will. Joshua chapter 3, verse 14. The Bible says, and it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people. And as they that bare the ark were come unto Jordan, and their feet of the priests that bare the ark were dipped into the brim of the water, for Jordan overflowed all his banks all the time of harvest. What does these 12 stones mean to you? Not only does it mean the message of God, but it means the measure of faith. Not only the message of God, but the measure of faith. Hey, these priests that was bearing the ark, hey, my friend, as soon as their foot stepped into the brink of water, the water was moving, the water was dividing, the water was going asunder, and the ground became dry ground. But then it tells you something else. It tells you that Jordan was overflowed with water at this particular time. What these 12 stones mean to you? It means hard work. It means labor. It means a great deal of effort to get God's work done, but God is faithful. It means we had to have great faith to take one step out into the water and believe God can divide it. All this stuff we're trying to do. I want you to know, church, you know this as much as I do. This is my first pastorate. This is the first church I'm ever going to pastor. I'm never going to pastor another church for the first time ever again. This is always going to be the first church I ever pastored. I'm telling you, God's putting a lot of stuff in our hearts, and God's putting a lot of stuff in our minds, and God's putting a lot of stuff in our lives. And He says, hey, by faith, I want you to trust me. And I look at the income and I say, God, I don't know how to trust you. I can't see it. But God says, hey, just trust me. I look around at the people and say, God, we don't have enough of people to get the job done. But God says, hey, don't trust the people. Just trust me. He said, when you take a step, I'll be there. And you take a step of faith, I'll divide the waters. And I'll make you walk through on dry ground. Hey, these 12 stones on the other side of Jordan, when I look at them, when I look at this church and look at what God's doing and look at what God's done, I want to tell you, my friend, we've got to have greater faith than Jesus. He can get the job done. What He's done in the past, He can still do today. What He's done years ago, He can still do today. What He's done in other churches, He can do in our church. Church, all we've got to do is have faith in God. If God tells us to do it, I believe God provides everywhere He's guides. I believe if God says, hey, you take a step in the water, He'll provide a way. And He said, take another step, and take another step, and take another step. And sometimes, folks, we won't see it. Sometimes, church, we won't understand it. Sometimes, church, we can't mathematically work it out and get the figures to work out and say, hey, God, we have this and you want this and there's no way we can do it. But God steps on the scene and says, hey, haven't I always been faithful? Haven't He always been faithful? When y'all was building this church, did He meet every need that you had? My friend, when you started a bus route, did God meet the need that you had? When you ask God for something, did He meet the need? When we look at these 12 stones, it speaks about the measure of faith we need. I tell you, beloved, this ain't the end of it for us. Some of you, I'm looking around, and I'll be quite honest with you, you don't care if the church grows or if the church dies. But I'm going to tell you, this is not the end of it. God's got something far better for an open door than where we're at right now. God, Vance Hafner said, God is always advancing. God's always going forward. And if we're not going forward with God, then we're backsliding. Not only does these 12 stones speak about the measure of faith, but it speaks about the memorial unto the children. Look here, if you would. Joshua chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. That this may be the sign among you that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then shall ye answer them that the waters of Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan was cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. My friend, we got a great heritage, and we need to pass it on to our children. Our children need to see what God can do. Our children need to see us in an old-fashioned worship service. Our children need to see us, hey, we're not ashamed of Jesus. Hey, I love it just like you do when somebody gets up and shout and runs the aisle and have a testimony for God. I love it when somebody gets up and sing and they sing like a mockingbird, but they're singing for Jesus. I love it when the man of God gets behind the pulpit and preaches on sin and preaches on faithfulness and preaching God's Word. Hey, I love it, my friend, when I take God's Word and read it and it cuts me asunder. But our children will know nothing about that if we don't hold on to what God's given us. Our children will know nothing about old-fashioned worship unless we teach them. My children will know nothing about being faithful to God unless me and my wife teaches them. I wonder how the next generation is going to grow up. How's the next generation that's looking at grandmama and granddaddy and looking at mama and daddy staying out of church? How's that going to affect them? They're not going to have what we have today, folks. And I'll be quite honest with you. We got a great heritage. But we don't have God like the old timers had God. How many of you grew up in church from just a little child? You grew up in church. Quite a few of us, quite a few of you. You know by looking at what we have here and what you had when you was a little boy. You went into a church with wooden floors, a pot-bellied stove that kept the church warm. You had wooden bleachers that hurt your backside, but all you had God on it. And you stay for hours and hours because God was there. Now, you know what we got? We got air conditioning and heaters. We got lumbar seats, padded pews, carpet on the floor, the nicest things money can buy. And we don't give 2 cents about it. You know why? Because a lot of times God's not here like He could be. My friend, who's going to teach our children what God can do? It's going to be us. When they look at those 12 stones, those children looked at those 12 stones, and they looked at them and gazed upon them. They wondered, what these 12 stones mean? Finally, one of them got enough nerve to say, Daddy, what do these 12 stones mean? He said, Son, I want to tell you these 12 stones mean when we was growing up, God was faithful and met every need we had. And God told us to do a lot of things, and we couldn't see the end of it. We didn't know how we was going to get the job accomplished, but we stepped out by faith. And these 12 stones mean a memorial that God's not forgotten. You know what I want our church to do? I want our church not to forget who God is. We've been talking about this for some time. I want you to help me pray about it, about building a tabernacle back there behind our church. You say, why? So we can have tent meetings. So our boys and our girls can get out there and play in them wood chips on the ground. Remember when you was a little boy and you had a tent meeting outside and the preacher coming to preach and it was hot and sticky and you got down there and played in them wood chips on the ground and you made you a little mountain? Oh, you remember, ladies, when you got there and you had to sit in those hard seats and you had your hairdo all done up and by the end of the night your bobby pins was falling out and your hair was all kind of waste, but you went home with your black lines run down your eyes, looked like raccoon eyes, when you put all that mascara on and you cried because God showed up, and you cried because people got saved, and you cried because the singer sung. You remember, my friend, when the preacher got there to preach and people stood up and said, amen, preacher, preacher. Preach on, preacher! Preach, preach, preach! I want our children to know what that is. My friend, we got a heritage. And by all of God's grace, we've got to hold on to it. What we have today, we've got to hold on to it. What do you mean? When we know what's going on, we've got to tell others. We've got to show others. You know who I want our children to learn? You know how I want my boys to learn how to preach? Not out of some textbook. Not out of some book where you open it up and it's got pages on how to make an illiterate outline, how to make a 5-point sermon, how to incorporate a song and a poem into your message. I want our boys to learn how to preach by watching their daddy behind the pulpit screaming and yelling and crying his guts out trying to get people saved. I want our children to learn to pray as mommy get on her faces before God at night and say, God, we don't know how we're going to make it, but we know you can provide a way. I want our children to know how to worship God because they've seen some old-timers who's not ashamed of the old-fashioned way and will still hold up a holy hand and still will say a big old amen and still will come to church faithfully. Here, he said, I wanted to make it a memorial. These stones, I wanted to be a remembrance of what God can do. And the last thing I want you to notice this. Not only is it the message of God, the measure of faith, the memorial unto the children, but look at this. The making of the future. Look at verse 21, real close with me. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Notice it very carefully. Notice what it says here, if you would, in verse 6. That this may be a sign among you that when your children ask their fathers. So you know what we have here? Brandon, can I use you for a minute? Come here, Brandon, real quick. Is he all right? Come here. Sit right here, if you would. Just sit down. Now, verse 6, you know what it says? It says, when my child asks his father, hey, what does these stones mean to you, Daddy? I can look at him and tell him, hey, these stones mean the message of God, that God's faithful, the measure of faith, how we had to just launch out into the deep and take a step where we've never took a step before. And these stones is a memorial about what God has done in the future, God, what God has done in the past, God can do in the future. Here in verse 6, hey, Brandon's going to say, Daddy, what does these stones mean? And I can tell him all that. Stay right there if you would, Brandon. But look at verse 21. It goes a little bit deeper. Verse 21 says, and he spake unto the children of Israel. You know who God's speaking to now? God's not speaking to the fathers anymore. He's speaking to the children. Notice what it says. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their father in time to come, what mean these stones? One day, Brandon's going to ask me, Daddy, you remember when you answered the call to preach? How did God prove himself? And I could sit down and rehearse to him how God made himself faithful to me. But one day, Brandon's going to grow up, and his child's going to ask him maybe the same questions he's asking me. You know what? I want his child to grow up seeing the same things that you saw. I want his child to grow up experiencing the same things that you experienced. I want his child to grow up knowing the same things to be true about God that you know. Now, how is his child going to know what you know? The only way his child's going to know what you know is by us keep going forward with God, holding on to what God's given us, and serving the Lord. What mean ye these stones? What do these stones mean to you? It means we've got a great heritage. It means we've got a great foundation. And God is working and still can work. Do you believe that tonight? God can still work. Do you believe tonight the church you grew up in is the same church we can still have today? Do you believe the same way that your man of God preached to you when you was a little boy is the same way that another boy is going to grow up in this church and preach the gospel after you and me are dead and gone? Do you believe the same way that we have revival today is the same revival they can have in years to come? Do you believe, my friend, that God's doing something in our church that's going to last for another 40 or 50 or 60 years? You sit down, Brandon. I tell you this, that white bus is not going to last for another 20, 30, 40 years. These walls won't last another 30, 40 years. This foundation, I don't know how long this foundation will last, but what we've got in our Christian lives will last forever as long as we keep passing it down and passing it down and passing it down. What does these 12 stones mean? I've said this many times. I believe I heard David talking about it yesterday. You know, your pastor, myself, knows I know how to make biscuits. You know how I know to make biscuits? Grandmama showed me. Grandmama showed me how to make biscuits the same way she makes them. Now, they don't come out nice and fluffy like hers, but they're pretty good. They're pretty good. I wish I had one right now with some syrup on it. I'll just stop preaching, take a time out, and eat for a little bit. But I know how to make biscuits. You know how my children's going to learn to make biscuits? If I teach them. If I teach them. They're not going to learn it from you. They're not going to learn it from watching TV. They're going to learn it by getting their hands dirty and getting that dough and that flour up under your fingernails. And putting that cooking lard in your hand, just rubbing it all on your hands and throwing it in there with that flour and put your salt and buttermilk on it. Hey, and you just mix it up. Not too much. You can't mix up too much, but just right. And pinch some little pieces off and put them in there and flatten them down and put them in a pan that's got butter on it. Pop them in the oven. And wait till they get golden brown and rise and bring them out. You know how they're going to learn that? By getting their hands dirty. By being part of it. You know how our heritage is going to keep going on? By keeping our children involved. Keeping our children involved. Show them the old-timey way. Bring back some of those things we've forgotten. Reclaim what's been forgotten and bring it back and put it right back in our church where we're still holy and righteous people living for the Lord. What mean ye these stones? Well, Joshua had a lot to say about it, didn't he? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for this day, for the Word of God. There's so much I love to say about these stones, about what we have in the Lord, about what this church could be doing for Jesus. But God, until you put it in our hearts to serve you to the fullest, it'd be useless for me to say anything else. I pray tonight that you'll put it in our hearts and lives. That what we have experienced from God and what we've saw from the old-timey ways, that we still can have it today. Oh, yes, Lord, I'm glad for the air conditioning and heater and for the padded pews and for the carpet. But, God, I would trade every bit of it if it means I can have more of God in my life. God, when it comes down to it, that's the only thing that matters, is having more of Jesus. More of Jesus. Lord, help us tonight to make decisions now
We're going to stick to the old-timey ways. It's not going to have to be an old-fashioned service. It's just going to be a service. But it's going to be the old-fashioned way. Lord, help us to be the church that stands in the old path, that walks in the old path, that stands in the gap and reclaim what's been forgotten. Lord, this church can start a lot of things that can last for years and have a great impact on the world. I pray, God, we do every one that you want us to do and not be engaged in nothing that you would not have us to be engaged in. Father, help us tonight. I pray you would. In Christ Jesus' name, I pray. Let's stand to our feet, if you would. The altar is open tonight. I don't know how to give an invitation, but what does these 12 stones mean to you tonight? What does these 12 stones mean? What God's done for you, what does it mean to you tonight? Is it worth holding on to? Is it worth telling your children about? Is it worth us keep working and sweating and bleeding for? I believe it is. Hey, y'all get ready to sing this song. What does these 12 stones mean to you tonight? If we're going to keep them, if our children's going to see them, if we're going to be able to tell our children what these 12 stones mean, it's going to take work. It's going to take some suffering. It's going to take some heartache. It's going to take time. What is these 12 stones? What do they mean to you tonight? It means to me that God's been faithful. When your children sit down and ask you,
but I have a father,
what was it like, Daddy, when you went to church? What was it like, Granny, when you went to church? Do we want to sit down and just tell them what it was, or do we want to get up and get them dressed and bring them to a church that's still doing it an old-fashioned way?
With things you can't see.
Do we want our children to read about revival meetings and books, or do we want them to come to church and experience what a real revival meeting is?
And that is worth.
Do we want our children to learn what an independent Baptist was, or do we want to bring them to church and show them what an independent Baptist is?
In the future, my parents pass on.
We want our family to learn how to be faithful from somebody else, or learn to be faithful from us.
We've come to call home. They may not leave me the goods of this world, but I will inherit.
That's right, girls. Sing it. Church, I believe what we got is worth giving away. I believe what we got in the Lord is worth giving to somebody else. I believe what we got from God in years past is worth holding on to for years to come. I believe what God's calling us to do now is worth giving all of our hearts to.
I have a goodly heritage. I am blessed with things you can't see. I have a goodly heritage.
You look around and you'll see what God's given us.
Look at this church. Look at these crowds. Look at the people. Look at all that God's given us. And if we don't stay faithful to God and stay true to His Word, all that we see today will be gone. And we just close our Bibles, take off our Sunday clothes, and stay home. But if you are earnestly contend for the faith, get out there in the middle of it and serve the Lord. 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now, your grandchildren, great-grandchildren can be right here serving God the same way you are.